Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Thank you so much for staying with us. Legal expert Mpumelelo Zikalala is on the line with us to help us go through a couple of legal stories. Mpumelelo, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you and also good evening to your listeners.
The president will be receiving the interim report from the Madlanga Commission. I think this will be on the 17th, and has already told us that we are not going to have sight of that interim report. Your thoughts on that?
I think that's not a proper decision to take. Remember that when you are dealing with public interest news and information, us as members of the public are supposed to be updated as to what is happening. Probably the Madlanga Commission is not going to pronounce on the accuracy of any evidence which is still yet to be mulled over or to be decided. So I don't see what is the harm which is going to happen if we do get that interim report, unless if it contains things that are super sensitive, ones that could have been retracted. But the majority of the report and the update is something that us as members of the public are supposed to know.
Mpumelelo, just perhaps maybe move around a little bit to see if we can hear you, because I can see you're still on the... Okay, we've lost him. Let's try and see if we can't get him back. So your thoughts, for those of you who've been watching the Madlanga Commission and have been following the Madlanga Commission, just let me know what you make of this. 086-00-00959. You can also send me a voice note on 063-688-0959. So the presidency announced today that they are going to be holding back, and the interim report will be given to them by the commission on the 17th, but they're not going to share that with us. They'll wait for the final report before they start giving us, whatever version that is, whether it is a condensed version, whether it's a full report, I'm not sure, but they will then do that only at the very end. I want to hear what your thoughts are on that. Mpumelelo, let's see if we can still communicate on this line. You were saying you didn't think it's a good idea for them to hold back this interim report.
Definitely. Apologies for that. It's not. At the end of the day, you are dealing with public interest matters. The individuals that are supposed to be updated as to how their public funds, their public interest is being dealt with is us as members of the public. So there's nothing untoward or top secret which is being investigated. The one liner that simply says we've accepted the evidence that there is, but there's still more witnesses that are still yet to come. It's exactly what we are looking for as members of the public. The minister starts having secrets, for lack of a better word. That's when you start to create certain speculations, and it makes it easier for whatever that the report is going to state, either to be believable or not to be believable. One of the things that might be of interest is the amount of money that has been spent. It is taxpayers' money. They need to know, and they want to know, how are they spending their monies? Are they spending their monies adequately, and are we getting value for money through this whole exercise that you are doing?
Do you think we should already be speaking of an extension?
Yes, because the manner in which it was done, they were basically given a speck of work which is too much for the amount of time that they've been given. Only looking at a curriculum alone is the amount of time which is required. If you then extend it to the SAPS, accepting all the information that is there, possibilities of cross-examination, possibility of bringing in experts, for sure that one is not going to be done within the shortest amount of time. But what worries me the most is this one. We are busy interrogating what institutions that ought to be working, why those institutions are not working at all. Meanwhile, they ought to be providing services on a daily basis. So it's like having a car that you've bought that is supposed to do deliveries, but it's not doing so. Instead of checking what is wrong with the car, we're inspecting the car. So the report that you are going to, which is going to come back to us, is going to cause us in the next 10 years to do another inquiry to say why police are not doing their jobs. Is there infiltration which is happening? And then the question which ought to be answered will not be answered, because it is the people in parliament, it's the people that are supposed to ask these questions, which we should be asking them, why are you failing to do a job in holding the SAPS, the ministry, and all the other individuals accountable? If we don't fix that, we are going to come back to the same position again in the next few years.
So, in your view, what would have been the most optimum way to do this?
Well, if you've received allegations, then hold individuals accountable. If I'm a police commissioner and there's something which is happening within my department, I should be held accountable. if there's something which is happening within the ministry, Mr. President, you are the one who supports you bringing the minister and say to him, well, on the advice that have been given, it seems as if you are failing to do your job. Can I remove you and get someone else to be able to execute it properly? If we go to a Kuruleni, for example, or any other municipality that is there, you simply say, MM has misbehaved, the council has misbehaved, they failed to see the mishaps that have taken place. Is there any recovery that I can be able to do? If the answer is yes, let's fire individuals. Even on the individuals that have been suspended, this information which is being shared now within the Madlanga Commission was there available to the public and they failed to act. So it basically means you have people that do not understand the powers that they have, don't know how to execute those powers, but most importantly, don't know that the most important individual in the whole scheme of things is members of the public. So if you're not going to protect their interest, not protect their financial interest, you are not doing your job. But the most painful part is that there's no one who's holding those that should be activating, that should be doing their jobs accountable.
Okay, so let's go to the, you and I have spoken about this, the Ngabinde inquiry, where today we saw Advocate Shamila Batoi tell us that she refuses to return to the proceedings after the lunch break. And it seemed like she didn't even have a decent conversation with counsel, her own counsel. Very, very disturbing exchange between herself and the chair there. And maybe just, you know, your sense of what you made of that.
Yeah, please allow me to be naughty for once.
Yes.
It reminded me of our former president, Jacob Zuma, and the... in the state
when he referred, yeah, exactly. I was going to say in the Zondo Commission when he said he's not doing this anymore. You can do what you want.
So sometimes emotions get the better of us.
Yeah.
I would have expected more from a person who understands the legal.
I was going to say just that because this was for me the most bizarre of them all was the fact that she understands what this actually means, the implications of what she's doing.
Definitely. And cross-examination is very brutal. You are made to concede things and as if you are not thinking at all when you took those decisions. And the nature of the question that is going to be asked is going to drill down to the smallest, whether you've dotted your I's and crossed your T's. And if there's something that you've missed, it would be as if you're the most incompetent individual that there is. So I think what happened today, the emotions got better of National Director of Public Prosecutions. And instead of approaching things the correct way, because in our legal system, you'll always be accommodated if you make an application.
You simply say,
well, I'm not feeling comfortable in the manner in which things have been done. Can we have a break so that I can come back on another occasion and be able to do it? Simply walking away does not assist. In fact, what it shows us as members of the public is a person who does not respect the process at all.
Because I was curious what you make of the very question that the chairperson asks is, why didn't you make an application? You in a sense are telling me what you are doing. You're not saying, can I make an application? You are not saying that you seeked counsel. You're just telling us you told counsel and counsel was just supposed to report to us what you had instructed. Not even a conversation. You didn't even seek advice.
Definitely. And if you look at all the laws that are applicable, whenever you are called as a witness, either in a court of law or in a tribunal, the rule is one. You will stay here up until we release you. So if you haven't been released, you're supposed to remain in attendance up until you've been told otherwise. So for her to simply walk away, it showed that maybe she did not anticipate that the process would go in the manner that it is going in now. The level of cross-examination, maybe she did not anticipate it. The manner in which she's been executing or maybe presented information and evidence in the evidence in chief is not something that could have been done a bit better. But what maybe she's failing to understand is that there's still an opportunity to fix that in re-examination. That's what re-examination is for. But unfortunately, we have to go through this heart of fire because you are under cross-examination and you are supposed to answer those questions whether you like them or not.
So where does this leave the inquiry then tomorrow?
Unfortunately, they're not going to be able to continue because even if you insist, a person can simply come and say, I'm not feeling well, I'm not up to scratch in terms of delivering the information in which I want. But I think the most important question is this one. How is this application going to assist you in saving yourself from the evidence that you've provided? And the answer to that is, it is not going to assist you at all. In fact, it's going to make things worse. You should go through the process and simply understand where you have made mistakes. Simply concede to those mistakes. The mistake here is one. She took a decision that may have been noble in the broader sense of things. However, the process and the methodology that was followed was flawed. Because if you're going to make an assertion about the competence of an individual, you must then be able to substantiate those allegations. If you say Zikalala does not understand the law, then you can come back and say, let's look at these elements. Would a reasonable attorney in his position have taken the decisions? If the answer is no, let's highlight those mistakes that have been made and place them in a clear manner so that it is able to see that it is not a person of misguided judgment. It was simply negligent. We all know you can't have a superhuman or super correct prosecutor, but there are going to be mistakes, but mistakes must be within the bound of what the law is stating. So if you make an allegations which are very serious, you must be able to substantiate them.
So can then this entire thing conclude, even if it leaves us sort of hanging here?
Yes, it can, because the information has been provided. So if she decides that she no longer wants to continue, then the submission that will be made by the defense would be, there are certain things that you wanted to test. So we are urging the commissioners not to consider the evidence which has provided, because it hasn't been tested by us. The witness was available to be able to defend or to go through the process of a cross-examination. They failed to do so. Hence, whatever information that she is providing must then be put aside. Remember, that's going to be detrimental to the NPA, because she is the star witness, for lack of a better word. Without her, there's no complaint. She understands the complaint much better because she is a supervisor, for lack of a better word. So if the supervisor is not here to substantiate those allegations, that means those allegations must be set aside and I must go back to work and simply continue with my job. So whatever application that she's going to come with, unless it's an application to say, can we go back to examination in chief? I want to place my record again. Maybe this time with much more due diligence, because I've seen the level of cross-examination that takes place. But other than that, I don't think she has a choice. She has to go through the process now.
Mpumelelo, I mean, I know she's retiring soon, but it leaves... I'm not sure this is the way to go. You know, I mean, your sense of what this has done to a reputation...
Definitely, and it has certainly dented her reputation. You know, a certain procedural thing that you, from a professional basis, you must be able to do. So if I'm going to make allegations, I must have at least read the content of the complaint, at least read the content of my complaint against a certain individual. If you make an allegation against someone, whether is professional or not professional, you must be able to say, I will be able to stand in a tribunal in a court of law because this is the evidence that has been provided to me. Let's add or amplify it a bit more. You are now speaking to a person who is in a position of power. So they are able to monitor the performance of an individual, and that's their daily job. That's what they're supposed to do on a daily basis. If you fail to do that, then we're going to start to look at you in different eyes as members of the public and say, how is performance of all the NPA members observed? Is it a process in which we have hired the incorrect individual, hence why the state that we are in now, or is a process where, well, they are trying to all their best to be able to represent us, but they are simply failing. So where it's going to hurt at the most is in her ability to say, let's take this NPA to a higher level. There have been improvements in terms of how the NPA is working, but it could be better. But I think it's going to highlight maybe the flaws that she has in her management style and the manner in which she has managed the NPA.
You know, I hear you, and I hear you talk about her management style. I'm as well more worried about her own astuteness as a legal professional.
That comes under scrutiny, and I think maybe the current panel, which is checking whether you can be able to get a new NPA head, must look into this thing. It is not only about management, but it is also about, can you be able to prosecute?
Yes.
Let's say worst case scenario. Can I take you to court and say, here's a matter, prosecuted from day one up until conviction, so that you better understand the type of conditions in which prosecutors are facing? So if you are going to fail in rendering those basic elements whenever there's an allegation in which you are facing. It does put a scrutiny to you to say, well, were you really up to the task? Did you really understand what you were thinking when you made these allegations? Did you understand the implications of such? And if you did, then what caused you to act in the manner in which you are acting in now? If you're not going to be able to stand through the scrutiny and the test of cross-examination when you are being asked about the rationality of your decision.
Yeah, I mean, and there are many, many things that came through as you obviously picked up on, and that left one wondering. And I think the biggest concern is this is someone who's had even international exposure. She came in highly regarded. And so there are lots of questions, I must say, that I think have left me wondering, what are we watching here, really?
And maybe even if you can try and check other matters that have not gone well, let's take the Omotoso case.
Yes.
In which you then say the person who is in the higher echelons, well, it's a matter of interest for me. I want to know what's happened. Mm. I will not interfere in your prosecutorial decisions, but please.
But I want to read. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I want to check how you're doing these things. And if that is not being done, that's why you are going to have those technical defenses that have been raised, which unfortunately, it's going to lead to Omotoso being declared not guilty. Not because on the merits of it, there are no facts, but due to the technical non-compliance that has taken place and the nature of our legal system, unfortunately, that's what's going to happen. But it then goes back to the point of saying, as the head of NPA, are you simply going to focus on management or are you going to focus on performance management and also on the cases themselves so that you better understand when things go right, this is what the ingredients that we utilize. When things go wrong, you're able to step in at the appropriate time and be able to save the ship from sinking.
I appreciate your time, as usual. Mpumelelo Sikalala, thank you so much for helping us understand and unpack all of that. So, as I said to you earlier on, the president is going to be receiving the interim report from the Madlanga Commission. That's going to be happening on the 17th. And today the presidency announced that we're not going to have sight of that. And then, of course, Shamila Patoi deciding that she's not going to be going forward with her testimony, and she's not going to cooperate anymore in that Ngabinde inquiry. And so we'll obviously see, you know, where this takes us. But she's made it clear this is it for her, and she's not keen to participate any further or cooperate any further. Your thoughts on that? 086-000-0959.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.